You're tuned into tomorrow. Right here on the Advanced Media Network.
Do you have diabetes? Are you tired of the frequent finger sticks to check your blood glucose level? Solara Medical Supplies is here to help you get your continuous glucose monitor, a breakthrough technology that eliminates finger sticks and automatically monitors your glucose levels and warns you of dangerous spikes. You may qualify to receive your own CGM from Solara if you meet these requirements. You test your blood sugar levels four or more times per day. You use an insulin pump or inject insulin three or more times per day. Solara accepts most private insurances and is an approved Medicare and Medicaid provider. If you or a loved one suffers from diabetes, a specialist is standing by to assist you. Solara Medical Supplies, your single source solution for better diabetes care.
Call Solara now to get started at 800-618-6928. 800-618-6928. That's 800-618-6928.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
It's Valentine's weekend, and we love you, our audience. Thank you for tuning into Tomorrow on the weekend for February 14th, 2020. Since we always use the Friday dates leading into the weekend, so you know when to come back if you're looking for show notes or you want to hear your call or your email or anything along those lines. It just happens to be Valentine's Day on the 14th. So hopefully you had a happy one, or you're continuing to celebrate through the weekend, or, like a lot of us, you're celebrating sad.
Yeah.
Which is
Singles Awareness Day.
There you go. So the happy Singles Awareness Day, by the way, that's Chris Graveline.
And many of us are happy to be sad. Happy to be celebrating sad.
I'm happy to be sad as well. Exactly. Who needs that?
I saw a meme on Facebook earlier that says, I'll be spending Valentine's Day with these two lovely triangles. And it was a slice of pizza and the Wi-Fi symbol. And I figured, that's me. That's me.
Oh, that's good. Erasmo, however, celebrating Valentine's weekend. I'm sure he's taking the missus out to a lovely dinner or two or three.
He better be, or she won't be the missus.
Yeah, exactly. So then you'll have to be sad. You know, we don't want that to happen.
For a nice Italian dinner here in America.
He's saying in the control room. But come on, they're from Italy, so wouldn't he take her out to a nice American dinner?
Probably, because I don't think they really like the Italian food here. It's not real Italian food.
That's true. It's not what they grew up on. It's pretend Italian food. Yeah. You know, just like Chinese food is not like in China. We've discussed that. Yeah. And Horatio, I don't know what he's doing on Valentine's Day, but whatever it is, he's loving it. So, Horatio working with the show out of New York and handling the posts. You've got to be sure and keep tabs on all the cool posts at intotomorrow.com, even throughout the week as news happens. News like, scheduled upcoming Mobile World Congress got more bad news. We've been talking about how they had increased restrictions because of the coronavirus threat. Companies including Sony, Amazon, LG, Ericsson, NVIDIA, a whole bunch of others were already saying, that's it, they're pulling out. Well, now the organizers have canceled the world's largest mobile show altogether.
And, you know, and our finger was already in mid-click to purchase our tickets to go. And
I know.
So glad we didn't get those tickets quite yet.
Because for years we have covered Mobile World Congress out of Barcelona. And it's always been an interesting trip. Since it's the world's largest mobile show, you get a whole lot of great detail. We have always had really good interviews with new products and services and devices and just all kinds of stuff. Well, not happening at all. It was going to happen the last week of this month. Done. Canceled. They scurried together all the organizers on, I think it was last Wednesday morning, and had an emergency meeting. And the end of that meeting, it was, bye. Just going to skip it.
Adios. I guess they say adios in Barcelona.
No, they say adios.
Adios.
You have to say adios.
See you next year.
Yes, because it's Barcelona, Spain. You have to say it with a lisp. And I've heard all kinds of stories like that's because from many centuries ago, the king had a lisp. So everybody had to say things like gracias instead of gracias. And, you know, the king couldn't pronounce S's, so it was always TH. to just that's just the way they do it. So who knows? I don't know, whatever. But as if we needed more confusion about the coronavirus, the World Health Organization bestowed a whole new name upon the coronavirus that's been dominating the global headlines for the last many weeks. The official name is now COVID-19.
They were probably pressured by the beer company to change the name.
Yeah, I wonder. They might say, listen, we'll make a Corona, probably said, we'll make a big donation if you can change. Well, and they've not really changed the name because everybody still refers to it as the coronavirus because COVID, as part of the COVID, comes from coronavirus. So then why did they have to mess with it? Just leave it alone. But the D stands for disease. Please. And the 19 represents 2019 because it was discovered late last year. The death toll from COVID-19 has already well surpassed 1,000 and unfortunately growing. But I hasten to point out what a lot of people, especially in the medical profession, have pointed out. The common flu, as we know it, even here in the U.S., kills many more thousands than this has. However, this is rather unique because how it spreads so quickly between humans.
Yeah, you know, and I'm no conspiracy theorist by any stretch of the imagination, but I have heard you know, things about China's biological warfare program
in the Wuhan district, ironically.
And I also read another story about how right before this outbreak seemed to be public, a lot of people from that hometown fled and got out of there. So it's like, Did they know something we didn't?
Yeah, like they were working at this place that makes biochemical warfare, and something happened. Yeah. Somebody dropped a beaker or something.
I'm not one to gossip, so you didn't hear that from me.
Nor from me, because it very likely is a conspiracy theory, but some of those do actually end up being proven.
Yeah. But, you know, and going back to, you know, to the tech angle, you know, World Congress, a lot of their exhibitors were from China, and those are the ones that were pulling out. And
And had this happened before CES, there would have been no CES.
Yeah.
Because as we learned years ago, as we learned last month, CES actually stood for the Chinese Electronics Show.
It wasn't really a CES anyway.
Yeah, true. Yeah, in the long run.
But Mobile World Congress, before they actually canceled the show, I was reading some of the things they were doing, and they had instituted a no handshake policy at the show.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very interesting.
like who's going to abide by that?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't typically ever handshake someone who just sneezed into their hand. Oh, Dave, nice to see you. No, back off. You know?
Well, that's why we travel around with our Into Tomorrow hand sanitizers.
Yeah.
You know, you have a staff. You always have a sanitizer guy where as soon as you shake somebody's hand, you get a squirt.
I get a squirt. That's right. So I would have been doing that. But that's interesting that they were trying to find other ways, as I said earlier, to provide increased restrictions because of the coronavirus and such a massive Asian influx as well of not only exhibitors but attendees and so forth. And it's just too big a show to have thousands and thousands of people coming from all around the world and one person could basically infect the whole place.
I mean, you know, and think about the domino effect that this cancellation of the show, then, you know, because pretty much all the hotels in Barcelona were sold out.
So of course.
Affecting all the hotels, all the restaurants that count on this influx of people that are now not going to be there.
No doubt this was not an easy decision for the, what is it, GSM people,
GSMA.
I think. GSMA, yeah. Which, by the way, I have to give them a little hell for something anyway. We went last Wednesday right away to their website, and it takes you 3 pages in before you see their own cancellation. Now, that's not very responsible.
Because they don't want to share the bad news.
Well, of course. I mean, you go right to their main page, and I wonder if it's still up that way. MWCBarcelona.com was their site, or is their site. I guess that's still up. But we went there immediately to confirm what we learned early Wednesday morning this past week. And they were saying, buy tickets here and click on it and the dates and the... What? Everybody else is reporting that it's canceled, and they don't have a thing on their main page. And then you have to click a little link that says something like important news about MWC, and then you have to click another link in order to get 3 pages in where, you know, we've never done it before, but we're canceling this year, blah, blah, blah. Blah. Oh, wonderful. That's very irresponsible of them, I think. So, ugh. But yeah, the trickle-down effect is really terrible. In other tech news...
In other tech news, the Apple Watch was the best-selling smartwatch last year. That's not news. But what is news, according to new sales estimates, the Apple Watch outsold the entire Swiss watch industry.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot of watches.
Yeah.
Because the Swiss, I think, still make probably the most watches.
They make the most watches and what are known usually generally as the best watches
in
the world.
Yeah, and multiple brands.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you've got, you know, obviously Swiss Watch and Swatch and Tag Heuer. Those are all out of, you know, Swiss. The report estimates that Apple shipped nearly 31 million units last year, which is a 36% jump over the previous year.
Hmm.
The Swiss watch industry, which includes brands, like I said, like Swatch and Tag Heuer, only shipped an estimated 21.1 million units, which is a 13% decline.
Wow. Pretty bizarre.
So people are going digital. Nobody wants the old analog watches anymore.
It's a shame. I mean, I have several old analog watches. I never wear them because I wear not an Apple Watch. Thank you very much. I don't drink the Kool-Aid, but I do have an Android watch.
Well, even though I drink the Apple Kool-Aid, I still have a Galaxy watch.
Because you enjoy being bi-digital.
And it's funny because all of my watch faces, they're all analog watch faces.
Now, see, that's weird. Now, why would you get a smartwatch to put an analog watch face on it?
Because I'm the tech history guy, and I like old analog stuff.
So you have a little history there,
yeah.
But it's cool because it's digitally analogued.
Right, yeah.
So it does some unique things, and you can change the faces easily. And yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I have put on an analog watch face just a couple of times, and not in public, just to see what they look like. And some of them are pretty cool.
Yeah.
If they have multicolors and things and second hands. And
even though it still takes me, you know, three times as long to figure out what time it is when I'm having to. Because for whatever reason, I always seem to pick
these analog. Do you count the dots or something?
Well, yeah, because I seem to always pick these analog watch faces that don't have numbers. They're all like dots or stars. So I'm having to count. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's 320. Okay.
Well, it's like I was telling my son last week when I was trying to help him with his math. I said, I know your teacher's going to yell at you, but use your fingers. I don't care.
You told your son to use his fingers for math?
I count on my fingers.
Oh, my. That's why he also took his shoes off and his socks. Having to use his fingers and his toes must have been double digits and stuff. Wow. Well, in the long ongoing attempts for Sprint and T-Mobile to finally merge, they've moved yet another step closer. This past week, a federal judge in New York approved the $26.5 billion merger of the third and fourth largest wireless carriers, creating a much larger rival to AT&T and Verizon. It's about time. Because they think they have everything. They don't. The merged T-Mobile will have more than 100 million subscribers. T-Mobile CEO John Legere said it was a huge victory. And now we're finally able to focus on the last steps to get this merger done. He didn't say what the last steps were, but that was his statement. Both companies say joining forces will benefit consumers. Fingers crossed, air quotes, the whole bit, by expanding access to next-generation 5G cellular networks and offer better service nationwide, they claim. They also claim that the merger will also create new jobs. That's got to be the first time in a merger history that they're actually going to create new jobs, if that's going to be true. Others have complained that prices will go up, and, of course, they're going to eliminate a lot of duplication, therefore eliminating many jobs. So I don't know how that's going to happen.
And this is apparently also opening the door for Dish to become the next mobile provider.
Yeah, they'll be number four then, because T-Mobile and Sprint will become number one with over 100 million subscribers, and then it'll be AT&T and then Verizon. And then Dish.
Yeah, because Dish apparently is, I guess, inheriting like 20,000 towers from Sprint as part of this deal.
God, wonder who counted them, but that's going to be interesting. And I still don't see Dish, who couldn't get their act together with television, how they're going to handle cellular phones. Well, so don't go running and buying a cheap Dish account, because you might have no or very spotty coverage.
As you say, their mobile service will work as well as their satellite, which isn't at all.
Yeah. So, and, of course, then they always have issues with various TV networks and providers and so forth. They can't seem to get those things straightened out without people losing their service. So I'm not really sure how it's going to work out for Cell. But, yeah, they're going to own a whole bunch of 20,000-plus towers, and they're going to be able to do somewhat nationwide, very spotty. But they'll be a little competitor way in the distance. But can they get the job done? Yet to be seen. Yeah. We'll have to see how that goes.
So you know those previews that automatically play whenever you scroll over a movie or a TV show on Netflix?
Yeah, don't you hate that?
Yeah. You can now turn them off.
Yay!
And as soon as I saw this story, I quickly logged in and I turned mine off.
Yeah, because it's enough already. You know, the reason you're scrolling is maybe you want to look at the titles. Oh, yeah, that's a movie I wanted to see. Or you want to just read a description. You don't need, if you want to watch the trailer, click on watch the trailer.
You know, and I've complained about that on the show many times. But last week, Netflix took to Twitter, stating that they've now added the option to turn off the previews. In their tweet, Netflix said, "Some people find this feature helpful. Others, not so much."
Name two people that find it helpful. Exactly. I don't think they can.
They said, "We've heard the feedback loud and clear." So to turn off autoplay previews, you've got to sign in on a browser. You can't do it from a mobile device. You have to click on your...
Oh, so I can't do it from my TV?
You can't do it from your TV or your phone or your tablet. You've got to do it on a computer.
Yeah, they said they've heard us loud and clear. Apparently not.
Because apparently that's how you can manage the profiles. So you have to go there, click on manage profiles, and then you can then turn that feature off. You can also turn off the feature to autoplay the next episode in a series.
But that
I like, because it makes my binging even easier and I can be even more lazy. I don't even have to touch the remote.
But for the same reason, I don't like it. Because you and some friends got me into the Jack Ryan thing, and yes, I binged the first two seasons. When's the third one coming on? I even asked Alexa, and she says, there will be a third season of Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan, but it hasn't been announced yet. And somewhere else I read late next year, 2021. It's like, yeah. I would not have binge-watched the first two seasons if I thought another year goes by before I see the rest. Yeah. But I was liking that show. I was not liking how next episode starts in 3, 2, 1. I couldn't grab the remote fast enough. Stop!
Now, Amazon, they do that a lot faster. Netflix gives you more time. You usually have like 15 seconds.
Yeah, they roll some of the credits and then counts down. But I want... No, stop. It's already 12:30 in the morning. I've got to get to bed at some point. And then I end up watching the next episode.
That's
anyway.
Why those, you know, releasing the whole season at once, it's a blessing and a curse. I mean, if you like to binge, you know, it's great because I watched the whole second season over the course of a weekend. But now you got to wait for a year plus to get the next season.
Well, see, also, I have things to do, though. I don't have the time to watch a whole season of anything. Although, why doesn't CBS All Access do it with Picard? We got to wait till every Thursday now.
I know, well...
What do you think about any of the stuff we've talked about? Because we want to hear from you. Stay tuned. We've got some new prizes to share with our audience when you join us and participate on the program. Best way, of course, with the app. We want to hear you. And by the way, if you have yet to do your taxes, hands up, including mine, you might want one of several TurboTax codes that we have that are good for all of their products. So whatever it is that you are into, if the free version can't help you, we've got the stuff that's worth like upwards of $200+ that you can win. So when you call in, if you need to do your taxes, mention that. And always no promises, no guarantees. But if we have any left, we'll be sure and include one of those to you. You'd like that, I'm sure. Meantime, let's meet when you have a moment, shall we? At intotomorrow.com.
Attention, those of you looking to go on a fun vacation and see the world on the cheap. Today, the U.S. dollar is worth even more in other countries, so there's never been a better time to travel outside the USA. The dollar is worth over $1.30 in Canadian dollars, and it's the same for Australia. You can fly there today and have fun and maximize your travel dollar. Your U.S. dollar is worth over $3 in Brazilian reals, and it's worth over $18 in Mexican pesos. Plus, in Argentina, it's worth over $27 in Argentine pesos. Just think of the bargains you'll get. And the way you get the cheapest airfare to any destination is by calling Tickets That Cheap. Save up to 75% on your foreign vacation tickets. Don't wait. Call now. 800-586-8571. 800-586-8571. 800-586-8571. That's 800-586-8571.
This is Tim Beharin. Best wishes and congratulations for 25 years of Into Tomorrow. As a technology analyst, I've had the chance of listening to the show many times over the years. Love the way it keeps me informed. You know, tech industry is fascinating because of its growth and its potential and its impact on all of us. It's a hard industry to follow, but having resources like Into Tomorrow helps speed up my learning curve, and it's a great radio show. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Tim, in San Jose, California. We appreciate that, and we appreciate all of our audience that has been calling in or using the app, as Tim did, to share with us your little congrats message, if you will. But the fact that several of you are telling us what you like or dislike about tech in the last 25 years makes it even more interesting and more fun. So by all means, share that with us at your convenience, either at 800-899-INTO or the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app.
This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by StreamGuys.com. They provide the 24/7 stream of Into Tomorrow at our website at IntoTomorrow.com and on our free Into Tomorrow apps. Stay tuned. In a few minutes, we'll be chatting with, or Dave will be chatting with, Anike Sakuriyawo. Did I do that right?
Close.
Sakuriyawo?
Yeah. Her.
Yeah. She's the CEO and founder of a group called the SEEK Foundation. It stands for Seeking Education Empowers Knowledge. And she's going to be discussing a very STEAM-tastic subject.
Yeah, which is kind of cool because STEAM-tastic. And you think, well, what the heck is that? Well, it comes from STEM. Science, technology, engineering, and math. But she and many other teachers these days, I think appropriately so, are adding the A. And you know what the A stands for?
Art.
Very good guess. Or you knew this.
I knew that because my son's classroom, he's in second grade, they have a STEAM corner in the classroom.
Oh.
And that was the first time I've ever seen it as STEAM. I've always seen STEM before that.
But you know what? That's a good point. Because when they had Grandparents Day last week, and I saw STEAM in the corner. He's running around in his classroom showing me all the cool stuff that he has up. And he wanted a picture next to technology, and it was in the STEAM corner. And it just didn't hit me that it says STEAM instead of STEM. But there you go. And there's a picture of Cam with technology. IntoTomorrow.com.
Attention all timeshare owners. Is this what you'd like to do with your timeshare contract? Do you own a timeshare and just want out? Thousands of timeshare owners are getting out of their timeshare contracts with the help of Timeshare Compliance. Timeshare Compliance can legally terminate, tear up, shred, eliminate, trash your timeshare agreement, ending your payments forever, saving you thousands. So whether you're a victim of a high-pressure, dishonest sales agent, or you were misled with what you were buying, or you overpaid and they underdelivered, call Timeshare Compliance now for a free consultation. With one simple call, the trusted professionals at Timeshare Compliance can legally rip up your timeshare agreement and help rip up your financial suffering. You could save thousands. Call now before another payment is due. Timeshare Compliance is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Call 800-617-2610. 800-617-2610. 800-617-2610.
Welcome back Into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline as we have launched our 25th year on the air covering the latest in consumer tech, gadgets and gizmos, products and services, all sorts of neat consumer tech available today and into tomorrow. I hope by now you also have our newest, latest, greatest free updated Into Tomorrow app. If you don't, I'll forgive you at the moment, but please be sure to snag it. Just search those two words in your favorite app store, Into Tomorrow, and be able to not only hear the show 24/7, we stream the last 7 weeks worth of our show. So in case you have missed anything, you can hopefully catch up easily. but also because we've got links to our guests and we've got the links to the interviews, all kinds of fun stuff, some tech news, go figure, all sorts of goodies for you, and most importantly, the ability to participate on the show very easily. You can just hold down a little button and ask a question about anything involving tech or help another listener or share any digital dilemma that you may have that we're happy to solve. So again, be sure to snag the Into Tomorrow app. Otherwise, if you want to participate the old-fashioned way, toll-free from anywhere in North America, 800-899-4686, anytime, 24-7, 800-899-INTO. We'd love to hear from you. Joining us to discuss STEM-tastic Saturdays, or is it STEAM-tastic Saturdays? Yeah, that would be better. The CEO and founder of SEEK Foundation. This is Seeking Education Empowers Knowledge. This is very cool. Anike Sakariyawoa. Anike, welcome into tomorrow. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited. I'm doing great.
It's a pleasure to have you because I think what you guys are doing is truly fascinating. And because our format has always been technology for 25 years, anything that folks can do to help kids get more involved in science and technology, engineering and math, we get the STEM part of it, but where does STEAM come into it? What is STEAM about?
So now with the STEAM initiative, it's more so to incorporate the arts with STEM. And when we talk about arts and think about art, it is applied to engineering. It's applied to science. So it's applied to everyday life. And now individuals want to incorporate the arts because when you think about engineering, there's like a prototype where you're actually sketching, you're designing. So all of those key features will go under arts. And now it's a movement to incorporate arts because of those different areas that's intertwined with STEM itself, which is science, technology, engineering, mathematics.
Oh, and I love that because I like the explanation, too. Art does play a role. It's all part of being creative and design.
Right.
And that certainly makes a big difference. So now tell me about the SEEK Foundation that you are the CEO and founder of.
All right. I'll be glad to tell you a lot about that. And
okay.
I'll try to keep it brief because I am a talker. So when we're talking about SEEK Foundation, it is a nonprofit that teaches children how to build products in three different pillars. And the pillars are STEAM/STEM education, because some people do not incorporate the arts. The other pillar is health and fitness, and then the community involvement is the third pillar. And everything that we do through those three pillars is with a STEM and or a STEAM, and we service kids from ages 5 through 18, and we have it in two core hearts, which are primary and secondary, which is the elementary, and then the secondary is middle school and a high school. And so with those programs for the STEM/STEAM education, we do it during the week, and we have robotics and hydroponic growing, and we also have the STEAM-tastic Saturday, which we include the arts. So on the Saturdays, we have the community come together with parents, local colleges, or maybe a local park and recreation, and they will come together and they will build and or make products on those Saturdays. And with the health initiative, we use the hydroponic growing so that kids can learn how to grow their own food in the classroom and learn about fitness. And on the STEAM-tastic Saturday, with the community involvement, children are making items and sending it to places that may have been affected by a hurricane or, you know, some type of disastrous event that took place. So recently, children made mobile AC units, they made deodorant, they made lotion, and they're also in the process of learning how to build an app with Microsoft so that they can kind of go over to the Bahamas this summer and track to see exactly what's going on with the things that they built and how people are using it. So those are a lot of the things that we have going on, and I hope I kind of summarize exactly like what we do to kind of give people a glimpse of what's going on with SEEK Foundation.
Yeah, I think you did a very good job of that. What prompted you to actually start SEEK?
I was a teacher for 15 years, and I I'm still a teacher. I still have my superhero powers with teaching. And so it was more so my experience as a teacher with, like, the stuff that they wanted us to teach kids. And it was more so of not having the freedom to do certain activities because it was more related to let's do the standardized. We got to push the kids with these questions. But I was more so, well, kids need to do more activities regarding technology and being exposed to it, and they'll pick up the vocabulary. So it prompted me as a teacher based on what I would see in my own experience in the environment in which I was to start the STEM theme and do things that I naturally don't see in the school. Like, I don't go to schools and the kids are making candles or making lip balm and learning about physical chemical changes. They're not outside, like, building a robot. And it's not to say it's not happening at any schools, of course, but I think more schools should take the initiative with the hands-on learning or individualized learning instead of standardized learning. So that's what prompted all, just my experience as a teacher.
Well, and that's, of course, the best experience, especially if you're looking to enhance the education of the kids, then you're doing it from within. It's not maybe, you know, certainly parents are as concerned, but they're not in the environment there all day, every day, as you have been. So that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, and so and for me, it's like I have a better understanding of, like, how do we get more kids involved? Because my experience when I was growing up with my science teacher, it was just more so like, you know, hey, watch me do this, and you try to understand it, now answer the question. But even in real life, as humans, we all learn by doing, whether it was something we were successful at, whether it's something that we failed at, we had some type of experience, and we picked up some vocabulary, something that we felt that was effective. And sometimes we have to fall or fail twice and three times just to pick up another experience within that same metrics that we were operating in. So I'm always looking at key ways to be innovative with technology, with general science and engineering, because it's the future. The world is fast. The world is changing fast with technology. And if these kids aren't exposed to it at an early age, specifically at an early age, then it's like they're going to be left behind. They won't be able to compete in a world that's changing with technology or the workforce.
And that is very true. And not only will they not be able to compete, but then our country can't compete, too. We hear all kinds of news stories as well about how we're so far behind some other countries that are really on top of these things for technology. So anything you can do to help continue to put that forward is certainly very good. You mentioned that you get some kids involved and maybe creating an app and doing some coding and so forth. Do you find that the kids, especially the younger ones, are not kind of afraid to jump into those kind of things? Or, you know, how do you describe coding to a five-year-old and see if he or she is interested?
Approach, we use we love these mini Spheros. Like, we introduce the kids to these little robotic balls, and they have Java block script coding. And so we kind of teach the kids, like, hey, you have this mini ball. You can do so many things with it. You can tell it to stop. You can tell it to go. You can tell it to make bird sounds. You can tell it to turn red. You can make it turn purple in 10 seconds. You can make it go 5 centimeters in 5 seconds. So with explaining that to a child, it's like, oh, I can do all of that. Like, I have magic. I can really do that with this. Yes, you can. And so once you intrigue them and you set the foundation of, like, yo, this is fun. Like, you can get into this. And you show them, like, this is how you drag and drop. And you move it here, you move it there. Like, you let them experiment on their own. And then they'll come to you with questions. So it's more so to be a facilitator. Like, I am stuck on this part. I don't understand this part, because they want to do it. Because you presented it to them, like, you can make this piece of technology do whatever you want it to do, but you have to program it to do that. So it's like you're creating an imagination for them. And which it is an imagination, because now you're putting it out into the world, like, this is what I imagine, but I can actually make it happen. And so from there, we kind of use the block coding, and then with that same program, they can actually use the actual JavaScript with the CSS, and they can transition from block coding to typing in the actual language.
And
so
I think
that's one of the ways.
And as a teacher, you must be thrilled with their excitement, especially when they're learning. Wait a minute, it does some cool stuff, whatever it might be. But if I can change some of those things, some of those actions, that's even more fun.
Yes, it's, my excitement comes from when the kids are excited to come to the program because they know that they are going to learn something. They are going to see something different, and our goal is to make sure that they get exposed to all forms of science, different genres in science, because we understand not every child wants to build a robot. They may want to be a chemist. So some Saturdays we do things with chemistry, but at the same time, we want them to understand you can do something in chemistry and incorporate technology because, of course, that's where the world is and where it's going to continue to expand in technology.
Anike, if you don't mind, I'm going to interrupt. Sorry to interrupt, but I want to ask you to hold on just a couple of minutes while we pay a couple of bills. We'll do a quick commercial break and come right back and talk with the CEO and founder of Seek Foundation here on Into Tomorrow.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-817-2939. 800-817-2939. 800-817-2939. 800-817-2939.
Into Tomorrow continues. I'm Dave Graveline. We're talking with the CEO and founder of Seek Foundation. Seeking education empowers knowledge. Ah, see what they did there? S-E-E-K. And S-E-E-K-E-D-U.org is their website. You talk about mentioning coding to a child, obviously to understand then what that means and how they can get in and make things do different things. But you mentioned coding to an adult who's not otherwise into computing or an IT professional or something, and they just freak out. It's like, what? No, that's not for me. Well, because they've not even listened a little bit about the kinds of things that might make their life easier or more productive or more fun. But the kids are just sponges, right? They want to soak up this knowledge.
They are. They are very, like, their eyes just light up. They want to soak up the information. And I think with that, when parents see their kids are intrigued, the parents start to come around, too, because during our Thinktastic Saturdays, sometimes I tell the parents, oh, well, could you let your child or, you know, let them finish so that they can have the opportunity to experience the entire thing, but I still want the parents to participate. Hmm. And with that experience, now we're teaching kids like HTML. We're in the process of trying to get more kids to do Python. That's part of our new initiative with building apps and things of that nature. I have a few parents that are like, I want to learn how to do it. I want to be in your class because we make it where it's fun. And I was kind of flabbergasted. Like, you really want to learn how to do coding? Because it's like when you're older, and this is from my experience, because I wasn't always a science teacher. I was thrown into a science classroom, and I went back to school to learn more about science and grew a love for it. So I find myself trying to make the content easy to understand because it's a very difficult It has very difficult vocabulary words.
Yeah.
Then when you're jumping into physics, and then when you're jumping into computer science. So I try to find what's the easiest way, if I want somebody to understand how to make a landing page, just use it HTML. Like, I try, because that's how I learn. I'm a very concrete learner, but I can learn rigorous material. It just needs to be broken down to me very simple and very easy.
And I think you bring up such a good point when you talk about the excitement now from the parents when they see the kids come home with some newfound knowledge and, more importantly, excitement about what they're doing. It's like, gee, I want to learn about that too. You know, that sounds fascinating, whatever it might be. But especially from, you know, a science and technology standpoint, now you've got those parents hopefully much more involved, and they're not just dropping them off to you, here, teach them something, and then I'll pick them up later and go shopping or something. They truly are wanting to be involved, as well it should be.
And this is absolutely correct. Now we have more teachers that will stay their entire time during this Themetastic Saturday. And we also have, like, the professors. They would participate, help the kids with the science club. So it is really growing to where we put up an event, like we just put up one with Microsoft, and it was already closed within a day or so for the seats that we have available for Eventbrite, because we try to keep the classes small on a Saturday. And the parents, I have a video with the parents talking about, they get more excited to come here than school. Like, that is a powerful statement.
True. And they're learning more, too. That's a whole other point. You want to visit seekedu.org, SEEKEDU for education, of course, .org. We'll get you there, too, when you visit us at intotomorrow.com. Anike, keep up the good work. We're very proud of what you are doing, and I know that the kids' excitement in learning all about the science and technology, engineering, arts, and math are such an important role for you as a teacher, but for them as well. Keep it all up, and we keep talking about it.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it, and I am just excited for more technology in the future.
Oh, very good. I love it. Well, that's what Into Tomorrow is all about, and we'll bring you more technology into tomorrow when you visit us at intotomorrow.com. I'm Dave Graveline. Be sure to visit seekedu.org for more. We're back with more on the Advanced Media Network.
Hey guys, it's Sue Cosner, your favorite sexual health expert, with another version of Ask the Pro. This month, I got a letter from Sandy in Seattle about an explosive bedroom secret she and her husband recently discovered. She writes, "Dear Sue, my husband and I used to have a great life in the bedroom, but in the last few years, he has struggled. He's tried about everything, but nothing has worked. Then one day he came home and gave me a night I will never forget. He told me about this secret formula, Noxatril, that changed our life in the bedroom once and for all. Wow, Sandy, you beat me to it. I recommend Noxatril to every guy that struggles in the bedroom. It's the only one. Noxatril is all natural and works to increase blood flow fast. It's like that little blue pill on steroids. Noxatril has a special free bottle offer shipped discreetly to your door.
To find out how to get your bottle of Noxatril, call 800-574-5007, 800-574-5007. Get your free bottle for a limited time. Call now. 800-574-5007, 800-574-5007.
Hi, Dave Graveline. This is Richard Barnes from IFA International and CE China Daily, wishing you congratulations on your 25th year on the air.
Well, thank you, Richard, from Australia, getting his congratulatory message in. We appreciate that as well.
Jump aboard the time machine.
You got mail.
Time to head into yesterday with This Week in Tech History.
History, history, history.
Here's Chris.
This week in 1878, famed inventor Thomas Edison patented a music player at his laboratory in Menlo Park, New Jersey. This is the music device that we know now as the phonograph. In 1946, this week, ENIAC, the first electronic general-purpose computer, was formally dedicated at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia.
Great googly moogly.
In 1953, the new fad in America was 3D, for anybody who thinks 3D is a recent technology.
Yeah, that was back when?
1953.
Oh, my gosh. That's older than me.
Yes, barely.
Yeah.
It was demonstrated in the movie Buona Devil. The 3D feature opened at Lowe's State Theater in New York City. In 1978, this week, the first computer bulletin board system was created in Chicago for the purpose of allowing computer hobbyists to exchange information between each other.
Oh, my.
And yes, I'm actually old enough to remember the time of BBS. I was on many BBSs before the internet came around.
Yeah, and the BS doesn't stand for what you think, but it might as well have.
Yeah. And this week in 2008, Toshiba Corporation said that it was giving up on its HD DVD format for high-definition video, conceding defeat to the competing Blu-ray technology that was backed by Sony.
Affirmative.
That's this week's look back at This Week in Tech History, brought to you by IFA in Berlin, the global innovation show since 1924 for consumer tech and home appliances, and by IFA Next, the launchpad for innovations. Get more info at ifa-berlin.com.
And while you're online, check us out at intotomorrow.com.